KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, a few breaks off to the north. We have some flurries in the air as well. We look for it to be mostly cloudy today with light snow or flurries, a high around 17. Currently 12 degrees above zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans to sell health insurance policies compliant with the Federal Affordable Care Act in Iowa next year. The company announced Thursday plans to offer policies as long as there aren't any significant changes to the 2010 law, also known as Obamacare. Wellmark, the state's largest health insurer, announced last April that would stop selling ACA plans because of high costs, an uncertain future, and the loss of $90 million over 3 years. It insured 21,400 individuals. On Thursday, the company said it believes the individual market can be functional again. Minnesota-based Medica is the only company selling ACA-compliant policies statewide this year. About 72,000 Iowans buy health insurance on the individual market. Riverside School District Superintendent Tim Mitchell Thursday afternoon responded to a Des Moines Register report that stated investigators had found mechanical repair records for the bus involved in a fire that killed a student and bus driver in December were changed a week after that fatal fire. In a statement released on the district's website Thursday, Mitchell said the Riverside Community School District rejects any characterization that inspection or maintenance records for bus number 4 were altered. Following the December 6th inspection of the bus, the district immediately completed all repairs noted for bus number 4. The district documented that these repairs were made, and this documentation is unchanged. The on-site inspector from the Iowa Department of Education, he said, instructed the district to additionally note the repairs in the department's online system once the inspection report was available there. The report did not become available until December 15th, 3 days after the accident occurred. In the ensuing weeks, Mitchell says the district noted repairs for all buses that had been repaired, including bus number 4, in the online system as instructed by the department. There is no dispute, he said, that the necessary repairs for the bus number 4 were completed before the accident on December 12th. And Superintendent Mitchell went on to say, our focus has always been and remains on the student and employee we lost that day and ensuring the safety of our students and staff. Well, all Republicans in the Iowa legislature agree on giving 1% boost in general state support to Iowa's public schools. However, action on that is held up as Republicans in the House and Senate debate how to address another issue, excessive transportation costs in geographically large school districts. House Republicans, like Representative Cecil Dolcheck of Mount Air, promised to revisit that school transportation issue next week.
The average is around $370 per school district per student. We have some school districts that have transportation costs as high as $1,000 per student. What the House proposal does, rather than give a blanket amount to school districts for every student, our proposal starts to address those with the highest transportation costs and buy them down.
House Republicans are offering about $10 million to cover busing costs for 1 year. Senate Republicans have been pushing for a permanent fix, one that would go equally to all schools. Most Democrats in the House voted Thursday to support that plan. Representative Sharon Steckman is a Democrat from Mason City.
You know, when someone tells me they're going to do something over and over, pretty soon I just quit believing them. And so for 8 years, we've been working on the transportation inequity and the per pupil funding inequity. 8 years. And now we actually have something, and we're hearing, oh, reject this, and we've got something better.
This busing issue, along with a final vote on how much state money to give to public schools next year, are still on the legislature's to-do list for next week. Republicans in the Iowa Senate have voted for a plan that cuts nearly $32 million from the current year's state budget. It's about $20 million less than their earlier proposal. Senator Charles Schneider is a Republican from West Des Moines.
We're trying to make these adjustments in a fiscally responsible way. But first, what we're doing is prioritizing where we're making these adjustments.
The bill still calls for carving millions out of the budgets for the state's prisons, courts, and community colleges. It cuts funding for the three state universities by about $14.5 million.
And this is what thousands of Iowa families across the state had to do during the Great Recession, when a lot of them faced salary reductions or a loss of income. They had to take a look at their own spending and make adjustments. That's the approach that we believe is the right approach to take and what we're proposing today.
Senator Brad Zahn, a Republican from Urbandale, would have preferred deeper cuts to state universities. He accuses the board that governs the schools of being addicted to erecting new campus buildings that rival the Taj Mahal.
See, the Board of Regents doesn't understand the concept of tightening belts.
Democrats in the Senate called the GOP's bill reckless and misguided. Senator Joel Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, said Iowans are suffering through GOP budget whiplash.
We don't have a spending problem. We have a priorities and a management problem. The Iowa Republicans, unfortunately, are falling far short.
Senator Rich Taylor, a Democrat from Mount Pleasant, is a retired correctional officer. He said the $3.5 million to the state's prison system will make an already dangerous situation worse.
Because the only thing they have left to cut is staff. There's no more room for cutting to the Department of Corrections.
The debate about cutting the current year's state budget will continue next week. The House must debate its own plan to reduce state spending to ensure the budget stays in the black. Elsewhere in the news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office on Thursday reports a man already in the Pott County Jail was served Wednesday with a felony warrant for conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. The warrant was served on 49-year-old Dennis Earl Page of Council Bluffs, who was then remanded to the custody of jail staff and returned to his cell once the charge was read to him. A report of marijuana found Wednesday afternoon on the Jack Links property on Magnolia Road in Pott County resulted in a citation for 26-year-old Jose J. Sandoval of Omaha. Sandoval was cited for possession of a controlled substance, 7 grams of marijuana, after a green leafy substance was found in a plastic baggie. A deputy working to serve papers Wednesday afternoon in Council Bluffs arrested a man on a felony warrant for theft in the second degree. Authorities say deputy was following a pickup into Bluffs Acres, ran the vehicle's license plates, which came back as showing the owner of the truck, 44-year-old Stacy Lynn Hollingsworth of Council Bluffs, was wanted on the warrant. And 26-year-old Dalton Joe Behrens of Trainer was arrested at around 2:20 a.m. Thursday for OWI second offense. Behrens was taken into custody after a deputy was called to investigate an unknown injury accident on Highway 6 at Eagle Lane, where a 1998 Dodge Ram pickup had gone into the ditch. There were no injuries reported. Finally, in state news, 2 separate proposals to expand gun owners' rights in Iowa advanced through initial review on the Iowa Senate Thursday. One calls for adding an amendment to the state's constitution that calls courts to strictly scrutinize any future gun regulations. The other calls for doing away with the requirement that Iowans get a government permit to carry a concealed weapon. Supporters call it constitutional carry. Richard Rogers is with the Iowa Firearms Coalition.
Certainly all human beings have the desire, the need, and the right to defend themselves, their families, and their communities. Their ability to do so effectively is often dependent upon having tools, arms, available for that purpose. In the past, those tools may have been a stick, a blade, or a bow. In the modern era, the most effective tool for this purpose is typically a defensive firearm.
Supporters of the move say if the government has the power to issue gun permits, it might someday use that power to take those guns away. Reverend Wendy Abrahamson, the rector of the St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Grinnell, says Second Amendment rights are assured by the Constitution.
As a law-abiding citizen of the United States, I don't fear my government. And I trust that my right to own a weapon is not under attack.
And Abrahamson described the gun permit process as a minimal step.
The right to own a gun is not something that comes simply from being alive or simply from being an Iowan. Like other rights, it has responsibilities.
Last year, the Republican-led legislature passed a sweeping gun rights package. This year's gun-related proposals had the backing of key lawmakers who worked on last year's bill. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.